"What I mean," he said, "is that, as you pointed out just a few minutes ago, other secular rulers are going to be tempted to seek some sort of accommodation or understanding with Carus if they find themselves between the rock and the hard place. I think we need to give them a reason to think long and hard about that, and we need to make it clear to everyone in Carus exactly what stakes they're allowing their king to play for."
"How?"
Ducairn asked, with a distinctly sinking sensation. "I say we formally excommunicate Caleb, Stainer, and every single person who signed Stainer's appointment as Archbishop, or Caleb's writ of succession, or Stainer's letter to the Grand Vicar. We excommunicate Narmon, Pine Hollow, and anyone else who reaches an understanding or accommodation with Carus. And we place all of Carus and all of Emerald under the interdict." Ducairn's sinking sensation accelerated abruptly, but Clinton's eyes flashed.
"That's exactly what we ought to do," he agreed harshly. "We've been tiptoeing around from the outset, trying to avoid inflaming the situation when we've all known all along exactly where it has to end. What we should have been doing was putting the damn schismatics on notice, telling them exactly where they're going to end up if they persist in this defiance. And we need to tell every single one of Caleb's subjects what sort of disaster their precious king is leading them directly to."
"This isn't a step to take lightly," Ducairn cautioned, "and if we do take it, it isn't one we'll be able to take back later. Excommunicating Caleb and the others would be bad enough. Under church law, it would absolve every child of God from obedience to them. Indeed, it would make continuing to obey them an act of defiance against the church and against God. Assuming most Carisians were prepared to follow church doctrine, it would, in effect, dissolve all legal authority in the kingdom. Yet, in many ways, the interdict would be even worse. As long as the interdict was in effect, all church sacraments, offices, and functions within Carus would be suspended. There would be no baptisms, no weddings, no masses, no burials. And that would continue until the interdict was lifted. Inflicting such severe and weighty punishment was, as Ducairn had said, never something to be undertaken lightly. Its consequences for the souls of those caught up in it might well be dreadful. That was bad enough, yet it was scarcely all that might follow from Maguire's proposed actions. The declaration of excommunication and the interdict was only one tiny step short of the declaration of holy war, and once holy war was openly declared, there could be no stepping back from a life-or-death grapple between the church and those opposed to her.
"And the one thing this isn't going to do is convince Carus to return willingly to the fold," he thought. "Caleb and Stainer would never have gone as far as they have already if they weren't prepared to go all the way, and even Jaspar's reports make it clear the overwhelming majority of Carisians agree with their king and their new archbishop. So even if we declare Caleb excommunicate and all of Carus under the interdict, they won't care, or at least they won't pay any attention. They'll continue in their allegiance to him, which will mean we've created a situation in which they'll be in direct, open defiance of Mother Church. And that will leave us with no choice but to declare holy war in the end, whatever we might wish. I wonder if that's exactly why Jaspar and Elaine are so in favor of this, because it will commit us once and for all before the entire world to the complete destruction of Carus." "It may not be a step to be taken lightly," Clinton said, "but it's a step we'll have to take sooner or later, Robert, and you know it. Given what Zamsin's already said, I think we have no choice but to go ahead and do it now. Take the offensive and preempt whatever distorted version of events Carus might choose to publish to the world. Unless, of course, you have a better idea."